We have for some weeks been talking about how Jesus put the work of the church into the hands of the disciples and thereby into our hands. And we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 and how that miracle took place in the hands of the disciples. And we talked about the walking on water and how Peter joined and walked on water. And we talked last week about Jesus saying it was better that he leaves so that the Holy Spirit would come. And how that Holy Spirit would enable those and us to do those things that God's calling us to do. That it was better that Jesus leave because the work of the Holy Spirit was to come. And we're going to go back into that same passage and talk a little more about that this morning, into the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. These chapters 14 through 16, when Jesus was giving some, not his very last words, but some of his last words, preparing his disciples for his death. This, back in 14, is where we hear Jesus saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled, and in my Father's house are many rooms," those words that he gave. And in chapter 16 here, picking up with verse 5. Again, this is we read this passage last week, but we're going to look at some different things and unpack them a little more specifically this week. "Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me." Which is a beautiful promise tagged at the end. I'm going, but I'm coming back. Amen. This idea of the Holy Spirit coming and providing truth, and it was true for them and it's true for us, though they saw it from a different perspective. They saw it prior to Pentecost. They saw, just as I've said many times, much of what we read about the disciples and Jesus happened prior to his resurrection, so they had a different take on these same things. They're same truths, but they had a different view of them from the other side of Calvary. They had a view of this from the other side of Pentecost. And yet it is still true, and it is true for us. And this idea that the Holy Spirit will come to us and enable us to do all that God is calling us to do. He says in verses 8 and 9, that the Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, part of the work of the Spirit from the time he will come at Pentecost forward is to convict, not in a sense of a courtroom conviction, but in conviction as in when you realize that you are doing something you should not be doing or not doing something that you should be doing, and there will be a conviction. There will be a stake set in the ground showing the marker between what one should be and should not be doing, and that is following Jesus or not following Jesus. There will be a conviction made on people's hearts. For those that do not believe in him, there will be, again, that separation for not having believed in Christ. And then this great statement that the prince of this world already stands condemned, that judgment already made. Already made. That the enemy of Christ, our enemy, is already condemned. His sentence not yet carried out, but already condemned. Then he goes on to tell us about all the truth, all that we will hear, and need to know. And this idea of the Holy Spirit coming and coming to us now in this life is a confusing thing sometimes in the church. Churches see and talk about this in very different ways. Some churches, it is the focus of everything they do. Some churches, we kind of ignore it altogether. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit in this world as Jesus has laid out here? And how do we get that for ourselves? And often I think that we're looking for a Pentecost experience, that thing that we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that we're looking for that thing to happen again. Some noisy, explosive kind of demonstration, these tongues of fire, and all these people speaking in languages that were not their own, so that others could understand what they were saying. And the scriptures do go on to talk about speaking in tongues, but that's kind of a different issue. This thing that happened at Pentecost was a one-time thing. The Spirit came in a new way, the Spirit that was already here, but came in a new way, manifested in a new way, a creation of a new thing. As the Spirit hovered over the waters of creation of the world, when God spoke things into existence, now came and brought this church into existence. As God breathed into that handful of clay and breathed life into man, so the Holy Spirit, which the Greek term they use is pneuma, it's the same as wind or breath, breathed life into this church. And that was a one-time event. Now, it doesn't mean the Spirit left. The Spirit is still available to us. But that event took place so that we would have it available. We would have Him, the Holy Spirit, available to us from that point forward. The Spirit that brings us all truth, that teaches us the truth behind the things that we read in Scripture, that enables us to do what God calls us to do, that gives us power and gives us authority. That Spirit is available when you're saved. When you come to accept Jesus Christ, Romans 8 tells us that he who has the Spirit has Christ, he who does not have the Spirit does not have Christ. So when you accept Jesus Christ, remember John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but he will baptize by the Spirit. Jesus himself immerses us, which is what that word baptismo, the Greek word where we get baptized, means, is to immerse. He immerses us in the Holy Spirit, and we are indwelt by and dwell in this Holy Spirit. So how do we get there? When we read, like in Galatians 5, about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we living lives where we are, do we have all the love and joy and peace and all those other things that we can stand? Are we completely full of those things? Is everyone's life full of joy and full of peace? Or do we sometimes feel like we're a little short in those areas? How do we get this Holy Spirit stuff going in our lives? How do we make that happen? And so often I think, I hate to always bring this back up, but so often some of these snake oil salesmen that pass themselves off as preachers, they have a program. Usually costs some money. You know, they've got this way, this new thing. I heard a guy last week, it brought me to tears. After I laughed, it brought me to tears. He went all the way back to Adam eating the fruit, Adam and Eve eating the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat. And that if you spend money that belongs to God, then you're now going to condemn yourself because you're not. So the answer to that was, well, that money that you think that you thought it was yours, but really it's God's, you're supposed to send it to Him. See, and He would take care of that for you. And this is on and on and on. There are these shortcuts. Shortcuts to God. Shortcuts to getting the Holy Spirit. And then they promise these great miracles that will take place in your life. Well, there are miraculous things that can take place in your lives. The Holy Spirit of God is available to come and work in your life. And I'm going to go back to the 14th chapter of John. You might have the heading around verse 15. It says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. You hear that? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. I said that sometime after the first of the year, we're going to talk about this idea of the church as the bride and how pervasive that is in Scripture. And it's just, I'm finding more and more evidence of that every day. And the very first thing we hear about marriage is what? That the two will become one flesh. They become one. Don't you hear that here? Don't you hear that in this? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And this is key, and show myself to him. English Standard Version says, I will manifest myself to him. Then Judas said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? If anyone loves me, Jesus replied, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him, make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you are hearing are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I will show myself to him. Now Jesus is departing soon. How will Jesus show himself to those? How will Jesus manifest himself? He'll manifest himself, show himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what he's talking about. That's the context of this scripture. And how do we see that? Verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. If we want to see the Holy Spirit manifested in our lives, if we want to see Jesus, then we are to be obedient to what Jesus has called us to do. If we're obedient to what he calls us to do, and if we love him, we will be obedient, then we will see the manifestation of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is as simple and as difficult as that. Being obedient. Now, being obedient is not the same thing as loving Jesus. Okay, this is an important distinction here. Being obedient is not the same thing as loving Jesus. Take this medicine and get well is what John Piper compares it to. It's not the same thing. Being well is not the medicine. You know, it's a connection made. You know, drive east here 4 miles and arrive at Dover Air Force Base. Dover Air Force Base is not the driving. Okay? Obedience is a response to love. And God's loving response is to show us his Holy Spirit, to manifest his Holy Spirit inside us so that we may see Jesus. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is where we end up. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is where we end up, and the Holy Spirit will show us Jesus. But we have to be obedient to what Jesus told us to do. And what did he tell us to do? Well, there's a bunch. But let's start with this. Worship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Evangelism. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And discipleship. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and making disciples. You want some more? Take care of the poor. Take care of those in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second most important commandment, according to Jesus. Do these things. Be obedient to the word that Jesus has proclaimed. The things that He has called us to do, told us to do. Be obedient and see the Holy Spirit work Himself in your life. That Jesus will be in the Father, will be in Jesus, and Jesus will be in us. Worked together through the Holy Spirit. Held together through the Holy Spirit. When God breathed into that lump of clay and made man, He enabled it to live. He didn't need to breathe in any longer. The man rose and began to breathe that which God provided around him. When God breathed into the church at Pentecost, He enabled the church to rise and live and walk and go and do. And now, church, we're to rise and breathe in that Holy Spirit that God has offered to us, that's around us, here already. It's not a new thing that needs to come. It's here. And if you're missing it in your life, if you don't have the abundance of peace and joy and gentleness and self-control and all those other things, if they're not abundant in your life, then go back to the basics of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Telling people about Jesus and making disciples. See what God will do. Amen.